I do work for Living Stones International. It is a ministry to and for the persecuted. We were called New Service 2000 for 40 years, 30 years, and now we've changed our name. In January and February, I was traveling through, I went to Egypt and Jordan. And then almost as soon as I got back, Dr. Pat took a group of, I think there were six altogether, and they traveled to Morocco and Egypt and Israel. And someone asked me this morning, or said to me this morning, from your prayer letter, it sounds like things have been really busy, and they have. The body of Christ around the world is suffering, and there is persecution in almost every region. 75% of the countries, 75 to 80% of the people in this world live in a country where they don't have religious freedom. And so we're seeing it grow and spread, and yet the body of Christ also continues to grow and spread. And so your prayers are very important. Our work is basically to encourage them, help them where we can, help them with needs, help them relocate if they're in danger, help them with medical supplies, schooling, whatever we can to encourage and build up the body of Christ. But then the rest of the year, I'm speaking in churches so that you also can be in prayer for the body of Christ. And I want to share with you about some of the individuals. But before we do that, I'm going to look into God's Word and just share what God has laid on my heart recently. I always tell churches, or I try to always tell churches, please, if it sounds like I'm being judgmental, if it sounds like I'm speaking directly to you, know that God has placed this on my heart. And God is working in my heart on the same things that I'm telling to you. And sometimes when God stirs in our heart, it's not comfortable. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we wish that whatever we just heard we didn't hear, because life would be easier if God wasn't convicting us. But I'm going to share what God's been convicting me of. And I will tell you, like I said, about some of the people that we work with at the end. But first, have you ever gone through a really difficult time in your life and wondered, how do people who don't know Jesus get through things like this? I will tell you, the last 2 years have been very difficult for me. Not with ministry. Ministry is fine. The people I work with is fine. But with family. Personal family. My kids. Those of you who are parents, I will tell you, parenting never ends. Right now we have an adult son living with us. We're caring for him and helping him to heal. And it's difficult. Our family never had any real disruptions. We kind of coasted through being a model Christian family with no problems. In the last 2 years, I've lost two of my daughter-in-laws to divorce. And I've had a son go through a really difficult time with a mental illness. And it has caused me to lean deeply into my faith and into God. Sometimes praying to him, sometimes yelling at him. Sometimes arguing. Times when I knew that it was only because of my faith in God's sovereignty that I was able to get through what I was going through. 1 Peter is a letter written by the Apostle Peter to encourage and strengthen the believers. Understand, Peter was writing to the Israelites. They had been scattered across the known world, forced to leave their home, and they were living in exile. And he wrote this letter to encourage them, despite the fact that they were being persecuted, and they were being persecuted. Despite the fact that they were living in countries separated from the rest of their community, and yet they were called by Peter to live according to God's principles as the elect of God and not according to what was going on to them and around them. We're going to look at 1 Peter verses 1 through 12. 1 Peter 1 verses 1 through 12. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. In the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Let me open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the many ministries that they are a part of. I thank you for their passion in seeing the community around them hear the good news, in seeing missions around the world taking place and sharing the good news. Heavenly Father, I pray that you continue to bless Pastor Eric and this church. I pray that they continue to be a light, a beacon to the area around them. Thank you for our time together. I pray that my words would be your words, my thoughts would be your thoughts, and I pray, Lord, that you would stir in each one of our hearts something that you have for us this morning. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In 1 Peter, we're introduced to the theme of suffering and hope. Like the original recipients of Peter's letter, we may find ourselves in seasons of suffering, facing challenges and uncertainties that test our faith. But in the midst of our trials, and understand, the people Peter was writing to had terrible, terrible trials. But in the midst of our trials, Peter reminds us of the living hope that we have in Christ. And I would guess in a church this size, there are people right now here who are going through a really, really difficult, hard time. And it's during those times that we're challenged to believe that Christ is sufficient and that God will get me through this and that God is with me every step of the way. And if that's you, I want you to know I'm praying for you as well, that God will bring you peace and comfort and joy. Because our hope is in what God has promised us. This hope is not a fleeting wish or a distant dream, but a living reality that sustains us and gives us strength. It is a hope that is anchored in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, a hope that is secure and unshakable. And as I share from 1 Peter today, I want to point out that I have seen this lived out around the world in people's lives who are suffering horribly or living in destitute poverty, people who have no right by the world's standards to be happy and joyful. They truly have discovered how, as Christians, this living hope transforms our perspective on suffering, fills us with joy, and calls us to live lives that reflect the glory of our salvation. So I'm going to break it down into a few parts. The first one, the living hope. Verses 3 through 5, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Peter opens his letter with a powerful statement about the nature of the hope we have in Christ. He describes it as a living hope, both alive and active, hope not based on wishful thinking or human optimism. It's grounded in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. I think as Christians, a lot of times we just, you know, we're saved, and then we go about our lives. We don't think about the treasure and the glory and the future promise of being with God forever. Sometimes we let things distract us and really irritate us. Amen. That shouldn't. That shouldn't take away from the joy that God has given us. It's a hope that is alive. Our hope is not based on the circumstances, but on the unchanging character of God. No matter what you're going through, his word is truth. No matter what you're going through, how difficult it is, God is right there beside you. Our hope is alive just as Jesus was raised from the dead. Our hope is alive and active, continually working in our lives. And I hope that's true for you. I hope you allow the fact that you are a believer in Jesus Christ to be something that changes your life continually. Every day, every decision, every interaction with friends and enemies alike. This living hope gives us a confidence and expectation of the future blessings and a secure inheritance in Christ. Our hope is secure, not fleeting or uncertain, but is secure and steadfast. You know, in the Muslim world, the followers of Islam are always hoping that they do enough to eventually end up in heaven. They don't know. Their security is not assured to them. And so when you share with them about the fact that they can know that they are going to heaven, they can know that they will see God face to face, that's something that causes them to pause and think and question and want to know more. Our hope is secure. Peter describes our inheritance imperishable, undefiled, unfading, highlighting its eternal nature. And the inheritance is reserved in heaven for us, guarded by God's power, ensuring that nothing can diminish or destroy it. Our hope sustains. The living hope sustains us in the midst of trials and challenges. It gives us strength and perseverance to endure, knowing that our ultimate victory is assured by Christ. As we face difficulties, our hope in God's promises enable us to overcome fear and discouragement. The living hope we have in Christ is not just theoretical. It's not just a concept. It is a practical reality that should impact how we live our lives. Then Peter goes on and pushes a little bit harder. In verse 6, he says, In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him, and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Peter acknowledges the believers are going through various trials, which is kind of whitewashing what they were experiencing. Not only were they, pursued and hated by the Romans who were occupying their nation, but they were also outcasts from the Jewish society because they had followed Jesus Christ. He encourages them to rejoice in the midst of their suffering. How can we find joy in suffering? The purpose of trials. Trials test our faith, refining it like gold. Trials, just as gold is purified by fire, our faith is purified by trials. And it strengthens our reliance upon God. I have found that so true in the past couple years. But I have also seen it lived out by people who don't know where their next meal is coming from. They don't know if some neighbor or some government official is going to pound down their door tonight and haul them away to be imprisoned or tortured or executed. Their reliance upon God is so deep because the trials they are facing are so hard. People ask me, so Dave, should we pray for persecution to come here? Should we pray that things would get more difficult so that we rely upon God more? And I tell them, I pray that God would allow whatever it takes to draw me closer to him. Finally, the outcome of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Our suffering is temporary, but salvation and glory that await us is eternal. By keeping our eyes fixed on the hope of salvation, we can endure the present sufferings with joy. Response to suffering. Instead of despairing and suffering, we're called to rejoice. And our joy is not based on our circumstances, but on our secure hope in Christ. Suffering can deepen our relationship with Christ and conform us more closely to His image. Peter's words challenge us to view suffering from a different perspective. Instead of seeing it as a sign of God's absence or God's punishment, we can see it as an opportunity to grow in our faith and experience the joy of our salvation. There's a woman we've written about in our prayer letter. Her name is, we call her Zaina. And Zaina, I think I spoke about last time I was here. She converted to Christianity, and her Muslim husband was not at all happy about it. They had two children, and Zaina's husband came before her one day and held out the Bible and the Quran. And he said, "You choose which one you're going to choose." She chose the Bible. Then he called the children over to himself. And he held the Bible and the children and he said, "You choose which one." And she chose the Bible. She would not deny Jesus Christ, even at the expense of her children. It got so bad that he kicked Zaina out of the house. She was not allowed to see her children. When the children would see her on the street and run up to give her a hug, the husband would beat the children. Things have gotten a little better and a little worse. One of her children is now living with her. She is living in hiding for fear that her husband will come and find her and cause a lot of problems. The police, a policeman in Egypt, actually told the husband, "Your son can decide who he wants to live with," and so he's with Zaina. But she still cannot see her daughter. She's still living in fear and hiding. And yet, every time I see her, she's got a big smile on her face. She's discipling like a dozen other young women in faith in Jesus Christ. She's sharing the good news wherever she can with as many people as she can. And she knows the joy of following Christ, despite the fact she lost one of her children, can't see her. Despite the fact that she has to live in hiding. As we face trials and difficulties in life, let us remember the living hope we have in Christ. This hope is not passive, but active, transforming our perspective on suffering and enabling us to find joy in the midst of trials. Finally, the joy of our salvation is eternal, the glory of salvation. Peter continues, "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news, to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look." The prophets in the Old Testament were talking about a future day, a future Messiah that would come and bring a new age, bring about healing, bring about a restored relationship with God. But they wouldn't live to see it. They searched and tried to figure out, when would this happen? When can we expect this? But they knew that ultimately it would be for future generations. They longed to understand the full implications of their prophecies, but they were serving you. They were serving the believers who were now in exile. The full fulfillment of the prophecies came with Jesus Christ. That last verse really always causes me to stop and wonder. These things upon which angels wish to look or long to look. The angels themselves long to look into these things, highlighting just how great God's plan is for humanity, God's plan of salvation. We are privileged to live in a time when we can see the promises of God being fulfilled. We have the full revelation of Christ and his work of salvation. We have a complete copy of the scriptures, the word of God, put together so that we can read and study and learn what is this wonderful gift that we've been given. The angels long to look at it. The prophets were seeking the answers to it. I pray that we as the body of Christ would be as fervent in understanding our faith as they are, as they were. Spend time in the Word of God. Know what God has promised you, and in that find joy. Understanding the glory of our salvation should fill us with gratitude and a desire to live in accordance with God's will. As we reflect on the glory of our salvation, let us be grateful for the privilege of living in a time when God's plan of redemption has been fully revealed in Christ Jesus. May this awareness deepen our appreciation for God's grace and inspire us to live lives that honor him. The opening verses in 1 Peter remind us of a living hope that we have in Jesus Christ, the joy we can find in the midst of suffering, and the glory that awaits us in our salvation, and a call to holiness in response to God's grace. So when you go through difficult trials, hold fast to this living hope, knowing that our faith, our salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. And learn to rejoice in the midst of trials. Look at them as an opportunity for God to make himself, to reveal himself to you, to make himself more real to you. I put clipboards out on some of the pews. I think there's three on this side and three on that side. I want to ask you, if you're not receiving our monthly prayer letter, I want to ask you, please sign up for it. And my reason for asking you this isn't anything for me. It's not a fundraising technique. It's not something that we're asking for money all the time from. It is stories of your brothers and sisters in other countries that you can be praying for today, who are suffering trials and tribulations. And if you're not praying for the body of Christ overseas in these countries, then I don't know that you're following what God's word has called us to do. It's not for me that I ask you to sign up for this. And if you get your news about persecution somewhere else, Voice of the Martyrs, Open Doors, whatever, that's fine and that's good. And I'm not going to tell you, well, take ours instead. I'm asking you, pray for the body of Christ in other countries. And it will open up your eyes, it will open up your hearts to the suffering of your brothers and sisters and what they are going through. The number one thing they ask for is our prayer. They don't ask for money. They don't ask that persecution would end. They ask that we would pray for them, that they would remain strong in their faith. And we can all pray for them, can't we? So if you would, even while I'm speaking, take the clipboards, if you would, if you're not receiving this, and sign up for the prayer letter. It's one way that you can know how God is working in other countries. Because most of those stories, while they're dark and they're difficult, they're joyful. Most of the believers that I have met, whether they're living in horrible poverty or difficult persecution, always have a smile on their face. Because they know that their hope is not found in this world. While you're passing those around, I want to share with you a few people that you can be praying for right now. This first family, the husband's name is Shady. Spelled Shady, but it's Shady. Can you go to the picture? I added this one 2 weeks ago because Shady and his family need prayers. Shady, a while back, broke his leg back in October. Broke his leg and had to have pins and rods put into his leg to help secure the bones so that they could heal. The bones and or the pins and rods were supposed to be taken out, you know, within a few weeks. And then Hamas attacked Israel. And Shadi lived in Gaza. And up until 2 weeks ago, Shadi still had the pins and the rods holding his leg together because there was no one in Gaza that could take time to take care of his leg. Shadi is a strong believer. I've never met him personally, but I have met his two brothers and worked with them. In fact, one of his brothers took me into Gaza one time. Shadi ran a small Christian school. He was the superintendent. And I share this because right now we hear a lot about what's going on in Gaza, but we don't very rarely see the faces of the people. See, Shadi and his family are Palestinian believers. And in Israel, 85% of the believers are Palestinian. Whatever your views are on the war that's taking place there, you have brothers and sisters in Christ on both sides of that conflict. Last 2 weeks ago, Shadi and his family were trying to get out of Gaza. They had permission to go to Australia, but that got declined because they couldn't get out of the area of Gaza. But 2 weeks ago, they got to the border, and Shadi and his two children were allowed to leave, but because her paperwork didn't show her married name on it, his wife was kept in Gaza. A couple days later, she also was allowed to go, so I'll share that with you. They found themselves in Cairo. They are refugees. In Cairo, they're not allowed to work. They were not allowed to do anything because they're immigrants. They're refugees in that country. Thankfully, Australia again said, you can come here. And on Wednesday this week, this past week, they flew to Australia. But the road before them is still going to be very difficult. So I want you to pray for Shadi and his family. Young family, stuck in the middle of horrible trial, who didn't ask for it, didn't do anything to call that upon themselves. And I will tell you that when I asked Shadi, well, can we help you financially? Can we help you with something? And he said, right now we're fine. We're okay. We don't have much, but we're okay. Pray for Shadi and his family. The next one, I speak about her often. Her name is Emily in our prayer letter. She works tirelessly among the Sudanese refugees in Cairo, Egypt. When I first met her, she was helping about 32 families. And understand, she used her own money to help them any way she could, whether it was food, clothing, Bibles, whatever. Well, Living Stones got involved, New Service 2000, we started helping her. And because of COVID, we actually gave her a substantial amount of money to help more people because there were so many suffering. Because they weren't allowed to, they couldn't go on the streets and sell things like they normally did. They couldn't make food and sell it on street corners the way they normally did. And so the Sudanese refugees in Egypt were suffering, and so we tried to help. And today, Emily is working with volunteers to help over 400 families because we gave her help. It increased her workload a lot. Her mother has terminal cancer. Her father is in a hospice situation. For years, she would bring her parents with her everywhere she went because she was their caretaker. Her father was walking with a walker. He couldn't go up and down stairs very well. They lived on the sixth floor of an apartment house without an elevator. So she would ask the taxi driver, "Can you come and get my father with me?" And they would get him down the stairs into a taxi to go do ministry. Her parents, her mother in particular, is a lot of the security that she has. Someone she can talk to, someone that supports her no matter what. And her mother has terminal cancer, and she knows the day is coming when her mother will no longer be there. And she goes through bouts of depression. Pray for Emily. She's doing God's work in amazing ways. She has led so many people to a saving faith in Jesus Christ just by caring for their physical needs. Pray for Emily. Pray that others would be raised up to help her in the work she's doing. And finally, this is Brother Adam. I think I shared about Brother Adam last time also because he was going through persecution in the country that he lives in. He lives in Mauritania, country where if you convert from Islam to Christianity, you will be executed. It's in their law. If you try to convert someone from Islam to Christianity, you will be executed. And so Adam, last time, was having some issues, but in November, a video of Adam performing a baptism got on social media. It was a joyful thing. The person videoing didn't mean harm, but the society around Adam started calling for the government to do something about it, because you can't have a Christian in a country that is 100% Islam. So they took Adam's computer, his phone, went through his house looking for information, and in the end, 24 people were arrested for being believers and sentenced to execution. Thankfully, the international community heard about it and began protesting and saying, "This can't happen. This can't be allowed to happen." And the government released Adam and the other 23, with the warning that they keep their faith silent. But their faces were now on social media, in the news. Everyone knew who he was. Recently, like 2 weeks ago, he was driving down a street. Some young people saw him and knew he was an infidel, someone who had left the faith. They grabbed a large rock and threw it at his car, striking the windshield right in front of him. It shattered the windshield, but thankfully it didn't come through and hit him. And he was able to drive off to safety. So the persecution that Adam and his family faced hasn't stopped just because the government allowed him to leave. Society around them know who he is. Pray for Adam, because when he made the decision to follow Christ, it affected not only him, but his wife and their 6 children. And yet they joyfully continue to share the good news with as many as they possibly can. With that, I'm going to leave. Thank you for your time this morning. Thank you for your care for the body of Christ.